1 Samuel 14. Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other, Sena. The front of one faced northward, opposite Mishmash, and the other southward, opposite Gibeah. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving, by many or by few." So his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Go then. Here I am with you, according to your heart." Then Jonathan said, "Very well, let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say to us, 'Thus, come to us,' then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand. And this will be a sign for us. The Lord is mighty in battle. If we stand with him, we ought to have confidence in his strength to deliver us." 2 Kings 6. "Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servants of the man of God rose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' The Lord opened his eyes and the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mount was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, 'Strike this people, I pray, with blindness.' And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha." The Lord's power is with us. With him in battle, we should expect victory. 1 Kings 19. Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in that wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And he said, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, appoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Ebal Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It should be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel. All those knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." The Lord is in control. If we trust in him, he has shown that we should have confidence in his vision for us. "And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, 'O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God. You, Lord, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the king of Assyria have laid waste the nations and the lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone.'" 2 Kings 19. "And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people rose early in the morning, they were all corpses, all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained in Nineveh." If we pray to him, we ought to have confidence in his answer. Acts 2. "For David did not descend into the heavens, but he says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord of our God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day the 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. If God gives us his promises, we ought to believe that he will make them happen. And please help us, Lord, with our unbelief in these things. For not having confidence in your strength in battle with us. For not expecting victory under your command. For not trusting in your control of all things and the plans you have for us. For not believing in answered prayers. For not faithfully trusting in your promises.
Comes time for our confession of faith, we have to rejoice that we are not like those without hope, that we don't believe that we were the product of mindless forces, that we exist where the only value is for survival of the fittest. We have the truth about a God who created us for a particular purpose, who has redeemed us from our sins and forgiven us from our sins. We should be filled with hope when it comes to our confession of faith. We've been working from the Westminster Confession of Faith, the shorter catechism. And the first question that comes to us in that catechism is, why were we created? Why are we here? Why are we here? What is the chief end of man? And what do we know? Exactly. To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. We have a very definite purpose. We've read about the Redeemer, the things that God has done for us, and we're at the point now where we're talking about the duties that God requires of man. We're working our way through the 10 rules, which are subsumed under the two great commands. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And we're in that part of the table under the second command. We're ready for the 8th commandment this morning, about the prohibition against theft, which presumes some sort of private property or some private stewardship of God's property. And the proper way to address that. And so we're going to address the 8th command this morning. I'll read the questions and then please join me in reading the answers. Which is the 8th commandment? The 8th commandment is, Thou shalt not steal. What is required in the 8th commandment? The 8th commandment requireth the lawful procuring and furthering the wealth and outward estate of ourselves and others. The modern English version is a little bit clearer, perhaps. What does the 8th commandment require? The 8th commandment requires that we lawfully acquire and increase our own and others' money and possessions. What is forbidden in the 8th commandment? The 8th commandment forbiddeth whatsoever doth or may unjustly hinder our own and our neighbor's wealth or outward estate. The modern English version, the 8th commandment forbids anything that either does or may unjustly take away money or possessions from us or anyone else. We thank God for setting out for us what our duties are.